Every sports fan knows it's not about how you start the season, it's about how you finish. At MyBookie, 2020 finishes strong with NFL, college football, and the return of NBA action. Sign up today to receive a halfway deposit match up to $1,000. And while you're at it, ring in the holidays with 6 days of giveaways. You heard it here first. From December 21st to December 26th, MyBookie's hooking players up with free bets, casino chips, and blackjack tournaments with huge cash prizes. And it's all week long. To get in on the action, it's simple. Sign up, make your first deposit, and enter promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, to claim your bonus and start taking advantage of the holiday freebies. Head over to MyBookie and discover this year's batch of fun on-site promotions and win big with 6 days of giveaways. This holiday season, bet with the best. Bet with MyBookie.
All right, the divisions have been decided. Champions are about to be crowned and legends born like Taylor Heinicke. But what about you? What's in it for you? I know. It's your time to win in the NFL playoffs. You've waited and watched all year. Maybe your team had a good season. Maybe your team had a bad season. How about you have a winning season in January? MyBookie, the industry's leading online sportsbook and casino, and it's not hard to understand why. Thousands of lines to bet on your favorite sports. NFL, NBA, college basketball, check, check, check. MMA, soccer, check, check. They've got all the latest odds, period. Take advantage of MyBookie's prop builder and live in-game betting where every single run, throw, basket, touchdown is another chance for you to put cash in your pocket. Visit their mobile-friendly website today and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Just use promo code ZABE when you make your first deposit. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. The best part is they make it simple with a variety of ways to deposit, including credit card, bank transfer, Bitcoin, and more. Whether you're at home or on the go, your laptop or on the phone, it's not too late to make your New Year's resolution a resolution to get paid on the games you knew were going to end up the way they did. Bet, win, and get paid at MyBookie.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/ZABE and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/ZABE today. Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Today on the ZABEcast, how fast and deep are the NFL waters of the NFL? Dwayne Haskins went from a stripper party in a hotel after a loss to being cut and having his career basically ended in a week. Kevin Brandt, a.k.a. The Professor, joins me to talk Packers, Quadzilla, and, of course, psychotic lone bombers. All that plus the most expensive train wreck in history. Your 35-minute dose of pure me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Tuesday, December 29, 2020. And just like that, Dwayne Haskins is no longer a member of the Washington football team. Wow. Ron Rivera's big gamble, Riverboat Ron, comes up snake eyes. Lost the game, lost it badly, lost it with Haskins, and now they've had to cut him anyway. Not a good choice by old Riverboat Ron, unless, and this was brought up to be my Mr. X, as I called him to get his address, because I think he's going to win the Whiskey League, and I'm like, I want this bottle of whiskey out the door tomorrow morning, if at all possible. I said, what'd you think of the Haskins thing? And he said, look, I've seen this before a number of different ways in different places. Men basically want to avoid two things at all costs: getting fired and getting totally in deep with their wife. And so they do things that are usually tailored towards those results. And in the case of Rivera, he probably knew that Dwayne was going to shit the bed, that he didn't have a proper week of preparation, that he was not playing or feeling the confidence a quarterback needs because he had been humiliated the week before. He probably knew he was going into the game with a less than ideal situation. He might have said to himself, you know what? I bet we could win this game with Taylor Heinicke. But he wasn't going to start him, because if he started Taylor Heinicke, and if Taylor Heinicke shit the bed, and Dwayne Haskins sat there and then had a, you know, just his arms folded like, you know, I could have played in this game, then guess who looks like the shithead? Ron does. He kind of looks like the shithead for not setting a tone with the culture and then letting Dwayne still be on the team and giving him the start and then seeing everything unfold the way it did, but not as big of a shithead as Dwayne does. And to me, I go, okay, I kind of get that now. That sort of does make sense. So Dwayne Haskins will be available to be picked up by any NFL team. I doubt they will, because they would be on the hook for his remaining money, which I've heard is between $4 and $6 million of dead cap money. It's not that big a deal, considering that Alex Smith is going to carry some significant dead cap money, unless they decide to bring him back under his current deal, which is like $25 million a year. So there's going to be a lot of dead cap money on the Wolfskins books for next year. And there are no good options out there at quarterback. I mean, there'll be some options. Are they good options? I don't know. And they're going to be too far out of the draft to get anybody they really want. Everyone's talking about the Borman Manziel, this kid from BYU, Zach Wilson. And I haven't watched him close enough to form an opinion, which would likely be completely inaccurate because we're all very inaccurate from the couch. But they're not going to be able to draft a quarterback. And I do not want to move up to get a quarterback. So what are the options at quarterback for next year? Not great, Bob. There's not much there. Late first, mid first. You take a reach, do a flyer. What do you do? Who's going to play the position for you? Kyle Allen is probably going to be the guy next year. And it's probably going to be painful when it's all said and done. But the Dwayne Haskins thing is yet again another example of how these things end for the Redskins or the Wolfskins under Daniel M. Snyder. I sent this tweet out in a thread, and it went as follows. You can read me on Twitter at Zabe. This is a good one here. Ready? I said, every big idea at quarterback by this owner ends up like a train going off a bridge over a gorge. More on that after KB. First, there was Jeff George, and I went and I pulled up the bite, or the, I pulled up the news article from ESPN.com with a Len Pasquarelli byline on the side. George had no chance. And it's of Marty Schottenheimer saying, after 2 weeks, you know what? I got to cut him. I thought I could make it work. I couldn't. Jeff George was Dan Snyder's big idea after they came close with Brad Johnson the year before in 99, the first year that Dan owned the team. He's like, oh, Jeff George is available. Let's go get him. George and the Redskins had about scored 67-3 in the two losses so far. Jeff George, done after 2 weeks. I said then it happened with McNabb. McNabb signs this big, flashy, new extension, contract extension with the team, middle of the season, after he had been traded from Philly here, and then he gets benched at the end of the season. He'll be the number two quarterback against the Cowboys, said the article, then dropped to number three behind Grossman and John Beck for the final two games of the season. After that, Shanahan said, I told him I cannot guarantee you'll be back next year. McNabb's agent, Fletcher Smith, told ESPN that the Redskins' decision was, quote, disrespectful to Donovan. He has not been more disrespected his whole career than this year. It's absolutely ridiculous. Turns out they were right, because McNabb went to Minnesota for a six-round pick, didn't do anything, and then was out of the league. Then there was RG3. RG3, after his injury, after he came back, all in for week one, ends up getting benched for the final three games of the year while completely healthy, because Shanahan said he needed to be ready for the off-season program. Unbelievable. And I'm not even counting the bad endings with quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins had a two-year-long running sort of poker hand with the team called Franchise QB Poker. He was holding a flush. The team and Bruce Allen was holding a pair of sixes. And Kirk didn't blink. And he was gone. I won't even include the time that Dan's big idea at quarterback was to do a sneak selection of Patrick Ramsey when Steve Spurrier had literally left the draft room to go play golf. And of course, there was the terrible karma on Dan's big idea to go get Alex Smith, now expendable because of the rise of Patrick Mahomes, and squeeze out 5-6 good veteran years from him. It was not a terrible idea. But the God stepped in and snapped Alex Smith's leg. And it's the one time you couldn't actually blame the outcome, at least, on Dan. But now we've got the ending of the RG3 thing, or excuse me, the Dwayne Haskins thing. And this is how it always ends. This is how it always ends with Dan's big ideas. He cannot in any way, shape, or form be involved in the choosing of the next quarterback of this team. Otherwise, it's going to keep on ending like this. Like a train going off a bridge over a steep gorge into a river. And I will tell you more about that after our guest today. All right, this is such a great intro song, yet I must say as a disclaimer, Mad Dog Russo is not joining us tonight on the Zabecast. I got somebody better than he is, but it's not Mad Dog Russo who uses this very song, the great Bruce Springsteen with Radio Nowhere. It is instead Kevin Brandt, a.k.a. KB, a.k.a. The Professor, a.k.a. the guy who invented the name Quadzilla for A.J. Dillon of the Packers.
Actually, Zay, man, it's good to be with you. Actually, I chose Radio Nowhere not because of Mad Dog Russo, but basically because it sums up my radio career for the most part.
This is a great song, by the way. Let's take a listen here. All right.
Radio Nowhere.
Is there anybody alive out there? I think we've all felt that way at times, right?
Well, I do most of the time on the show.
Did you guys, nonetheless, you and Drew did the post game on Sunday night. And normally a late post game, especially on a snowy night in Wisconsin, on a Sunday night, holiday weekend, nobody's driving around in their cars, right? Did you feel like you were alone, or was the post-game show hopping because it was such a big statement win?
I mean, we had pretty good response from people because they were all pumped up, and that was a big deal. And, of course, we're on with Corey Behnke and Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV, Aaron, who you have on your show. And so they have a nice built-in – audience that comes over, and we good. Simulcast here and on the Cheesehead TV channel. And I just want to say that post-game shows, when you listen to other radio stations, they just blow. Okay, because
it's very dry, know, it's isn't it?
It's some jabroni that has never played the game that, you know,
that'd be you.
He's gotten into radio, and then they start breaking down sequences in a certain quarter, and it's just Nagler and Benke and Drew and I just talking like we were in a bar,
right?
And I mean, that's what we're not going. Hey, in this sequence, did you see that? I think my comment last night to Nagler and Benke when they brought up Devontae Adams was, sweet Jesus. Now, are you going to get that from anybody else? But I do have to give Drew credit, because it was Drew that came up with the name Quadzilla.
Oh, it was. Okay,
I just hopped on it, and I've been in the A.J. Dillon camp since day one. And
It's been a lonely camp since he didn't get many carries early on. Missed 5 games due to COVID. I think the Coronis found those juicy quads of his and said, oh, we're settling in here. This is rich, fertile territory.
Apparently, you know, from what we heard from people up there, he had it pretty bad. And so, and then he came back. Now he's got fresh legs. The guy was a monster. You got to admit.
Oh, yeah.
He was just a beast.
And look, and Nagler has always defended this front office in how they draft and who they draft, even when their first round picks don't play for a year or so. And this is where he and I fundamentally differ. Like I said, Rashawn Gary didn't play last year as a first round pick for the most part. That's bad. First rounders should play right away, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So you lose a year of cheap productivity, and it's not ideal. But Gary is coming on and coming on. He's playing a lot now, and he's making plays. So that's good. Dillon may be in the same camp. I still, though, KB, will not be able to be happy with the Love pick. The Love pick at quarterback, to me, is going to be one of the all-time wasted number ones.
Well, that's what a lot of people said about Aaron Rodgers, too. Who knows? And he may not even be, you know, the Packers have picked so many quarterbacks over the years. You know, they got, Brent Hundley, the guy from UCLA, is going to be the man coming out, and he's going to assume the role when Aaron Rodgers is gone. That's where the torch is going to be passed. And he turned out to be a train wreck, you know, and it's not like under Holmgren, where you had this cavalcade of stars that were coming out from the number two spot and having good careers. Matt Hasselbeck, right?
Yeah.
Aaron Brooks was serviceable. Mark Brunell had a fairly good career. You had
That said, though, here's the thing. Your quarterback is about to have an MVP. So, by the way, do you think he's going to be the MVP?
You know, we were talking about it today, and we were looking at the numbers, and it's like, how can't he be? I mean, he's got 10 points higher than Mahomes on his quarterback rating. He's completing over 70% of his passes.
Yeah.
The only thing, he's got 6 more touchdowns, 1 fewer interception, and the only thing that Mahomes has over him is he's flashier.
Yeah.
His team's got a better record, but again, it's a team, and he's got more yards.
Yeah. And it's a media award. You say, how could he not get the award? The answer is simple. It's a media-given award. And the media likes the flashy things. Do you know the betting odds are now overwhelmingly in favor of Rodgers winning the MVP, whereas 4 weeks ago it was flipped?
Well, sure. The only one who wins out of this thing is State Farm Insurance. But, I mean, Zabe. Yes,
it is the State Farm thing. Do you care, by the way? Do you care if he's the MVP? As a lifelong Packer fan.
Yeah, you always want to see your guy be an MVP. And he's
No. That's not. That's different from caring. You saying you always want to see it. I want to know if you care. If he doesn't win, are you going to be pissed like Armin?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? No. If he doesn't win, will I be pissed? No. If he does win, I'm going to be very excited because there are two things that happened that led to this, and it's a two-headed snake. One is the drafting of Jordan Love, which probably got stuck in his craw, and number two is he finally kicked Danica out the door.
Yeah. Well, he says the drafting of Jordan Love
didn't motivate him anymore. He's like, nah, okay. Man, I'm a pro. Come on now. You don't buy that.
Yeah, and then taking Alex Smith over him too, that didn't bother me at all.
So then, how about the Danica thing? Tell me why you think the Danica thing has cleared his mind.
Okay. And you know me well enough,
yes,
Zabe, when that I tend to be, you know, a little bit, I don't know, cynical, perhaps. As soon as Danica moved in and there was a story that broke, this was pre-Zabe on the game, there was a story that broke that said Danica has moved in and she was on like Ellen or The View or The Talk or The Talking Ellen, and I don't know what the shit it was.
Talking Ellen.
And she said, yes, I've moved in with Aaron Rodgers, and I set up a dream catcher room in one of his spare rooms, and I went, done. That is over. And I actually said it on the air. I go, that is trouble.
A dream catcher room?
She makes dream catchers, apparently. And
for those that don't know, dream catchers are those ornate yarn spider webs that are made, yeah. I think it's a Native American tradition, yeah. And you hang them over your bed or over your door, and they are, in theory, they catch your dreams like a spider web catches flies.
Yes. And, you know, apparently one of her dreams was not to win an auto race. Otherwise,
brutal.
Those things didn't work. The Anna Kournikova of auto racing. But,
By the way, they on July 16th, they broke up in July or sometime thereabouts. A rep for Patrick told Page Six that the former race car driver and the NFL star were, quote, no longer together.
Okay, fine, whatever. You know, I wasn't a big fan of hers to begin with. I have a friend who owns an Indy racing team, and he doesn't have anything good to say about her. So she's not a popular gal. But
whatever the case, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, okay, Zabe. I mean, you're in sports journalism. You're on the radio. I'm not talking sports.
Not a journalist.
What's the better? Yeah, but what's the better narrative? Okay, Mahomes back to back or Rodgers, who gets scorned by his team because they drafted his replacement, and he steps up and says, "I'll show you."
Yeah.
I'm going to be at 37 years old. I'm going to win the MVP and stuff it up your ass. I think that's the better story. If you're going for the story and the media is going for the story, what's going to have more legs?
Your partner, Drew, is always chasing these stories because he is a journalist. He is a writer. And as all writers say, I root for my own lead. I don't root for a team or a game. I just think I've flipped on this because I was banging the Rodgers MVP drum for much of the year. And then I watched Mahomes for a couple of weeks, and I'm like, this dude is next level. He plays with a virtuoso's improvisational genius, like a jazz saxophonist that you've never heard before. The way that Mahomes plays is better than Rodgers. But then he had a couple of shit games. And then Rodgers kept going, and all of a sudden, the odds to win the MVP flipped, perception flipped. Maybe I'm back on Rodgers. I don't know. They're both great. I know this. You'll never get to Jordan Love because the modern NFL, with the contracts being what they are, you'd have to carry him for 5 years because Rodgers will play four more years after this. Easy. He'll be 41. Yeah. He doesn't get touched, KB. Did you see how clean his jersey was in the snow?
This year he hasn't been touched. Last year he got beat around pretty bad. But I'm telling you, this Green Bay team is, and I said this to Nagler and Benke 2 weeks ago, I go, this team is sneaky dominant. I mean, they're so stealth. They do it quietly. And Rodgers is like that guy who's got a shiv hidden in his boot, and you don't see it coming. And he just walks into the bar coolly, and the next thing you know, three people are dead, and he's out the door.
Yeah,
that's just how it is. And
this is a Super Bowl team on the racket. This
John
so,
Coon says it is.
Yeah. So
absolutely, and he's he's done the two of them.
Yeah, exactly. And he's hoisted the trophy on both of them. So final question before we pivot to what I called you for tonight, which is the bomber in Nashville. Because by the way, KB was the first guy I thought of, and I'm like, ooh, lone bomber. I know a guy who's seen way too many TV specials about lone bombers. So hold that thought.
You know what?
Hold that thought. I'll get to it. Here's the exit question of the Packers. With this special team, is the city of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and the county, Brown County, going to really not let any fans in on the way to a potential Super Bowl?
I don't know, man. That's just, I thought they would have by now. And we were talking about it today on the show.
The numbers are plummeting. The numbers are plummeting in Wisconsin. The peak is well past. This is how viruses work. They go up, they go down. What are they waiting for? They gave the first responders tickets to the game. You saw a very limited number. And my first thought was, KB, how dare they put those first responders in mortal danger of... Wait a minute. It's too dangerous to let regular fans in, but we're going to let first responders in as a thank you. Square that circle for me.
Zabe, you know this, that you and I are on the same side of this, is that, you know, I don't deny that the virus isn't dangerous. I don't deny that it's not real. I don't deny that it's highly contagious. But the virtue signaling,
it's out of control.
Media hypocrisy, that's what drives me insane. Right. And I looked at it last night. They only had a few people in there, and great, it was good for them, and they were allowed to space out. But this is the first thing that crossed my mind. All those people that didn't get $15 an hour that would have been there at 6 in the morning with their shovels just got screwed.
Right, because that's another – it's another great tradition is that fans shovel out the stadium for $15 an hour. When a lot of them would do it for free.
Exactly, they would. Now, do you know an aside on that when they started doing this, they were paying the people in check?
Yeah.
And now the guy walks out with basically a briefcase full of cash. And hands it out because all the people were keeping the checks.
Yeah, as a souvenir. They wanted to say, look, $145 and 00 cents for my 5 hours of shoveling at Lambeau Field to get the game ready for an NFC championship game. I would never cash this check. I want to frame this. This is my love.
It's like
for this franchise.
It's like Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson, right?
Yeah.
Got his first check for $1 million. He framed it, and finally the team had to say, Ricky, you want to cash that? Ricky never had a million dollar check. Yeah, okay, we'll tell you what, cash it, we'll give you another one.
All right.
Because it's messing up our
let's hope. And look, I'm not saying fill the place. I'm saying there's been fans in Kansas City started the year with fans. They're ending the year with fans. About 20%. There's no goddamn reason every team can't do that.
No.
And we'll see. We'll see if the NFL has the balls to go, you know what, now that's the playoffs, we're going to let some fans in. We'll see. Okay, let's pivot to the topic du jour, which is the Nashville Christmas morning bomber. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal.
That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, Fitbod. Fitbod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, Fitbod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And Fitbod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add Fitbod to your workout essentials. Join Fitbod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe.
Wow. There is so many layers to this thing. First of all, thank God nobody was killed. Three people were injured.
Well, he was. Well, yeah, but...
was one person besides the bomber killed?
No.
Okay, he had an RV.
That's my knowledge.
He had an RV that looked like he was right out of Breaking Bad, and it was playing over loudspeakers. It first started playing gunfire to attract the attention of police. It then played a warning message, there's about to be an explosion. And then it played that classic song, Downtown, which was the focus of one of the more infamous Seinfeld episodes.
Yes. It
wow.
was. You know, when this happened and then you said, hey, you want to do my podcast? You're the first person I thought of. I didn't know to be whether or not to be honored to be on the podcast or, you know, a little bit disturbed because you asked me. But when I first heard of this, actually, I try to not watch the news because it just makes me angry. Yeah. And I saw it on Twitter and I saw the explosion taken from the security camera of a building that was right across the street. And then I started digging into it. And the first thing that I thought of course, as everybody does, is, and I saw the RV out there, and I thought, this is a middle-aged or older white guy. Not because I was necessarily profiling, but there's nobody else except a middle-aged white guy who would drive that RV.
Correct. Correct.
You know, that's it. And then as I started thinking about it, and they started talking about this whole thing with 5G, and that's why he parked it by the AT&T building. And you've been to Nashville. I've been to Nashville quite a bit.
I have not been to Nashville. Gross hole in my resume that when the world finally stands up again and fucking marches, I plan to go there and have a hootin' good time. Continue.
Good. You can go with Drew and I. But when you see these bomber things, right, and I'm fascinated, and that's how one of the things that we got off on the same foot with months and months and months ago was, I believe I sent you the Unabomber's
manifesto. And you just
and
said to me,
okay,
you said, read it and keep an open mind.
I don't agree with his tactics, but man, he was onto something.
And you know what? I read it and I highlighted it and I had it next to my bed. And then I couldn't wait to talk to you the next day going, oh, and then there's this, and then there's this, and then there's that. It read like a time capsule from the future is what it read like.
It was. It was modern day Nostradamus talking about technology taking over and how technology is going to create distance between people and not bring them together. And you take a look at what's happening right now on social media. All it's doing is making people angry and hate each other.
He
flat out fucking nailed.
This one's interesting. So I tend to believe on its face what it looks like. Disgruntled, middle-aged, weirdo white guy who read too many chat room forums about 5G and it causing cancer, being used to spy on Americans, and then decided to do something about it, which was to blow up the AT&T facility in downtown Nashville. Sounds plausible to me. But I've seen a lot of conspiracy theories going, that was a missile that hit him. That was not an explosion.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And 9/11 was an inside job. You go with that.
I know. What do you think?
Well, what I think, you know, first of all, I'm fascinated by FBI profilers. If I knew they were around, I would love, you know, to consider pursuing that as a career. But I didn't even know it was
a little bit late for you.
That just,
no offense.
I know.
A little bit late.
I love the whole chess game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just fascinates me. And so when I started reading about this and not knowing anything, I mean, it's just me as a guy that has read a lot about bombers. And coincidentally, on Christmas Eve, my wife and I watched Richard Jewell
on HBO. Oh, the movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, that guy, that's an entirely different animal. But then I see this and I start looking at it, and this is only knowing what I know from, you know, McVeigh or Carlton Armstrong or
who's Carlton Armstrong?
Or any of the Carlton Armstrong in the early 70s to protest the Vietnam War with a couple other guys blew up the math and science building, killing a bunch of people at the University of Wisconsin. So it's pretty.
Oh, shit.
It's pretty pop. Yeah. And these guys were all pretty outspoken. But then there's a couple other things. And this was the odd thing, was that most of the bombers that have done stuff don't kill themselves in the bombing.
Good point.
So I'm going, okay, you know, Kaczynski didn't, you know, he bombed and he left. McVeigh didn't. He bombed and he got out of there. He dropped the bomb and, you know, Carlton Armstrong. Most of these guys don't blow themselves up. The suicide bombers for a cause, you know, as we know with the Middle Eastern terrorists, have we seen, you know, the suicide bombers and the bomber, the suicide vests. Okay, that tends to be, you know, their modus operandi. But this guy was, he must have been in the RV, right? So now I'm sitting here going, huh, I wonder if he was going to, he was looking at a 2-for-1, okay? It's like, I got to check out. I might as well take something with me. That's pissing me off because normally they don't. You know,
yeah, it's normally it. But here's the thing. I think most people are cowards, so they don't really want to die unless they are extremely highly, usually, but not always religiously motivated to die.
It doesn't appear as if he was.
If you're smart enough, by the way, building a bomb, it takes smarts, and you only get one chance to get it right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's no testing.
No, that's right. They're like, you know, all right, what does this do? I mean, there might be some testing in a you know, if you live in rural parts of the country and you can do some R&D, but it still takes testing. And then as soon as you start Google searching for how to make a bomb, you are usually on somebody's radar. I got to believe. Don't you think intelligence agencies have a deal with Google that if you type in how to make a bomb, you show up?
Oh, sure. I mean, absolutely, they've got everything on us. And, of course, Nashville, I think the first place that I'm looking is I'm going to every fertilizer store and looking for anyone who's bought any ammonium nitrate.
Well, that's the thing. It was a huge explosion. So what was the source material? It had to be.
I mean, that was.
Do we know yet? I've not read any stories.
I haven't not seen that, but it was definitely Oklahoma City, you know, big. I mean, it was pretty.
It
much
was big, almost as big. I would bet Oklahoma City was bigger.
Oh yeah,
because he had a whole.
I mean, it was right there.
McVeigh had a whole U-Haul truck full of it.
Right.
Right. By the way, the best ever bomb scene in a movie is this.
It's not like I have a bomb in here. It's not like I want to blow up the plane.
Sir!
I just want to stow my bag according to your safety regulations.
Sir!
Hey,
sir!
If you would take a second and take a little sticks out of your head, clean out your ears, and maybe you would see that I'm a person who has feelings, and all I have to do is do what I want to do, and all I want to do is hold on to my bag and not listen to you. And that the only way that I would ever let go of my bag would be if you came over here right now and tried to pry it from my dead lifeless fingers. Okay? If you can get it from my kung fu grip, then you can come and have it, okay? Otherwise, step off, bitch.
Get off of me! Get off of me!
Meet the parents. bomb, 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 oh, bomb, bomb, bomb.
You were acting like a maniac, and you threatened her with a bomb.
No, I said I didn't have a bomb.
You said bomb.
I said it's not like I have a bomb.
You said bomb on an airplane.
What's wrong with saying bomb on an airplane?
You can't say bomb on an airplane.
Bomb, 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 bomb. You gonna arrest me?
You assaulted an airline.
All right, so there's that. Some of the other ones. So Richard Jewell was not the bomber. Do you remember who the bomber was in Atlanta?
Yeah, what the heck was his name? He bombed a bunch of other places. Boy, and I just looked it up the other day. Was it Anders something? And he was not a good bomber.
Eric Rudolph. He had exploded four bombs in Atlanta and was found hiding out in the mountains. So they were looking for him for a long time. But the movie Richard Jewell, was it good? Should I watch it?
I would watch it, and it was pretty compelling.
They definitely tried to frame his ass, didn't they?
Oh yeah, that was the whole premise behind it, was how they tried to frame him. And there are a couple of real compelling characters in the way that they played it out. One was John Hamm playing the FBI agent, who is the lead, and how he was trying to cover his own ass because the woman, who played by Olivia Wilde, who was the journalist who was the reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Yep.
She had basically fucked the information out of John Hamm.
Right.
No, she did. She went into a bar and.
But that's not based on. Not based in real life, though. As I recall, there was criticism that it portrayed the media as unethical by doing that, and that she said she never fucked it out of him. Is that true or no?
Something happened. Though they didn't, they implied that. But you started looking into her background and see that this was kind of the way that she played things. And she had ended up passing away after a heroin or morphine overdose. And this was after this whole thing came out and she had to do her mea culpa and realize she ruined this guy's life.
Right.
And but it was really compelling to see exactly how the FBI was not going to back down on this. Now, conversely, it showed exactly what an idiot Richard Jewell was.
Because?
Because he loved law enforcement. And he figured, the way they portrayed it, if he cooperated, right, they would see him as an ally. And so he had this attorney who is basically saying through the whole movie, just shut your fucking mouth. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. And Richard Jewell, they portrayed him as being very slow.
Which he was.
And he was constantly saying things like, I'm just trying to help. You know, I'm law enforcement too.
Fucking security guard.
And they were. And as he was doing this, his attorney's going, will you just shut up? And then they're setting him up and you're watching this unfold. And it's like, man, oh man, this guy just got railroaded.
Which is why a lot of people with this thing in Nashville are going to say, I am not going to totally believe everything they say until I hear more. That the reason people are skeptical is because you look back at that episode with Richard Jewell and realize that big time bureaucratic agencies sometimes just want to railroad a dude, wrap it up, and they don't want to look bad, KB, at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, they got to close.
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter if they put an innocent man in jail as long as they look good and get their promotions. So I think there's going to be some people skeptical about this Nashville thing, just for the record.
And, I don't disagree. And I love the fact that the neighbors... Then when they interviewed his neighbors, of course, he got the same old thing. Well, he kept to himself. Well, of course he did. He was making fucking bombs, you know?
Yeah. They interviewed the neighbors of this guy in Nashville?
Yeah, and there was a couple that lived next door to him. He was quiet, spent a lot of time alone, had dogs, cared for them. They didn't notice his RV missing and left the driveway. They saw the news, then saw the security footage of the RV parked, and they were like, holy shit.
Oh, shit.
And then all of a sudden, they started seeing a lot of traffic and commotion on the street. Now, the mystery is, And my wife and I were having this conversation just before I hopped on. The mystery is going to be, number one, who was the woman that recorded it?
Meaning the warning.
Step back. Just going,
right.
Yes. Okay. And he was setting things up months in advance. He was getting his affairs in order. So this
didn't
was
he give his
some time.
Didn't he give his much gave, younger girlfriend property with for no money at all?
He deeded his house.
Yeah.
He gave her the deed to his house for no money, and she lives in L.A.
Of course, giving her a Tennessee house in some shitty neighborhood, that's like giving her 10 grand. It's not that much.
Right. I mean, no, it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, but the thing that keeps eating at me, and I'm going to follow this now, but it keeps eating at me, is that he was in the vehicle. So
why?
That's just not like how. Why?
Yeah.
That's the question that I want to answer, because most of the bombers that you see, they don't. They drop it, they blow something up, they go away, and as they oftentimes say, they return to the scene of the crime because they get off on watching.
Here's
you
the
know,
song.
Everything happened. And life is making you lonely. You can always go. How fucking creepy is this? Downtown.
Blow yourself up in a ratty RV in the downtown.
Downtown. Now, then I started thinking this is a filmmaker, right? And, you know, are they going to make a movie out of this? And if he was trying to kill himself and he knew he was going to do it, I can see this just this whole creepy scene that would be great for a thriller of this guy sweating, sitting alone in this RV, knowing it's going to blow in minutes. What are his last moments like when he's sitting in there knowing it's like, okay, I've committed to it. This is what we're doing. And he's not going to leave. And you're hearing Petula Clark.
By the way, remember the Seinfeld episode about this?
So, did you get out of payroll?
Yes, payroll. Yes, I did. Very productive. Payroll paid off.
Well, then I guess you'll be heading downtown then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Downtown. Definitely.
Well, I'm very interested to see how this thing turns out.
Yeah, you said it. Excuse me, Mr. Wilhelm. Do you really think, well, is this downtown trip really necessary, you know, for the project?
Oh, no, you've got to go downtown, George. It's all downtown. Just like the song says.
The song?
There's your answer. Downtown.
Downtown.
The song Downtown? You mean the Petula Clark song?
Yeah.
You sure he didn't just mention it because you happen to be going downtown?
I think he was trying to tell me something, like it had some sort of a meaning.
Okay, so how does it go?
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go.
Downtown.
Just so stupid. Oh, God.
I mean, there's so many layers to this thing.
He obviously didn't want to kill anybody, because he picked easily the quietest moment of the year. Agreed?
Right. If he really wanted to do damage as a political bomber or someone who's bombing for a cause, it would have been at a high traffic time. It would have been when there were a lot of people around.
Unless his cause was, fuck the government and their 5G. I got nothing against the people, because I'm one of them.
I'm one of them. That's very well.
Christmas morning, the quietest time of the entire year. Nobody's out on Christmas morning.
Nobody is. And he was... he had put, like I said, he had put everything in order. He was just, he walked off his job as, of course, what do you think he did for a living? Tech guy. You know, not that I'm going to stereotype, but.
No.
And then went into a side business on his own, told his boss I'm leaving a few months ago, and then put everything into order, and it started going. And it's almost as if it's like one of those, like a random shooter or that goes in and then ends up killing themselves. Only he didn't do it with a gun. He did it with
something else.
He did with a bomb, and he didn't kill anybody else. So it will be very, very interesting to see this. I would love to sit in a meeting with a profiler to see what they, you know, how they look at this stuff.
Exit story, and then we're done tonight. And I appreciate your time, KB.
Okay. Thank you. I love this stuff.
On the Atlanta bombing, I was a young cub enterprising radio host at One-on-One Sports in Northbrook, Illinois. It's 1996, right? Atlanta Olympics. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing updates and I'm doing weekend coverage. And of course, it's really pre-internet for the most part. It was around the internet, but nobody used it. Couldn't get on it. Nobody had it. And this bombing happens, right? And we're one of the only 24-hour sports radio networks in the country. Even ESPN radio at the time, KB, was not 24 hours. They were like weekends mm-hmm. and overnights. So I get a call from one of the producers who was on the board that morning. He's like, oh my God, there's been a bombing at the Olympics. We got to come in. We got to have you come in and cover it. I simply rolled over and said, there'll be other bombings. I'm going back to sleep. Click. And I hung up. And I was right, KB. There were other bombings. I just didn't feel like coming in and putting on my maudlin voice to go, oh, this is so terrible. Oh, my God. What information do we have from Atlanta? I'm like, I'm going back to bed. Click.
Well, without the internet and without Twitter and without, you had no information from Atlanta other than.
Right. What do I know?
And you would have had to call them. What are you going to do?
Right. I knew it was going to be a miserable assignment, so I said, nah, that's for somebody else.
Nah, I'm good. There's going to be other bombings.
Well, let's hope there's no other bombings, but history says there will be. No. I just hope I'm not around, like all of us hope we're not around when it happens. All right, KB.
Well, when you get back,
yeah,
when you get back in studio, we'll have to see how this unfolds, and we can continue this conversation on your morning show on The Game.
Sounds like a plan. Merry, merry, happy new year, and we will see you in the new year. Thanks, KB.
All right, Zay, I'm out.
There you go. Tomorrow on the Zabecast, I've pulled some sound bites of Dwayne Haskins talking to GQ for a little 10-minute video short titled How I Spent My First $1 Million in the NFL. It is cringe-tastic now that you know how the Dwayne Haskins era in Washington has ended up.
Shout out to Corey. I have like a whole bunch of like murals and like motivational things. I got a weight room. I have like 5-6 different paintings. Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson. I just got a Kobe mural. I got a whole like poker table of like my favorite rappers with a Scarface. It's like Jay-Z, Nipsey, J. Cole, Biggie, Tupac. It's a dope piece. He didn't charge me that much, so I'll probably say another 10 for Corey to paint my basement.
But back to the bridge thing, just to close the loop on that. I said every big idea by Dan Snyder at quarterback ends up with a train going off a bridge over a gorge, and I included a little short black and white video of a train over a bridge, or on a bridge, over a gorge. The bridge is on fire, the train, and then plummets into the water. Get this. And thank you to the Twitter account, Mean Streets of McLean. Zabe, that locomotive crash is from Buster Keaton's fantastic 1926 silent film called The General. The shot cost an astounding $50,000 back then to shoot using 6 cameras. It was the most money ever spent in the silent movie era for one scene. The wreck remained in the river until World War II, when it was finally salvaged for scrap. Wow. Good stuff. And somewhere down there in that scrap is Dwayne Haskins' career. That'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for listening. Have yourself a merry little Tuesday on this final couple of days of 2020. I am off both shows due to vacation. Thank you very much for asking. I wish I was on, but I could use the rest, as my voice could as well. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you tomorrow.
All right, the divisions have been decided. Champions are about to be crowned and legends born like Taylor Heinicke. But what about you? What's in it for you? I know. It's your time to win in the NFL playoffs. You've waited and watched all year. Maybe your team had a good season. Maybe your team had a bad season. How about you have a winning season in January? MyBookie, the industry's leading online sportsbook and casino, and it's not hard to understand why. Thousands of lines to bet on your favorite sports. NFL, NBA, college basketball, check, check, check. MMA, soccer, check, check. They've got all the latest odds, period. Take advantage of MyBookie's prop builder and live in-game betting where every single run, throw, basket, touchdown is another chance for you to put cash in your pocket. Visit their mobile-friendly website today and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Just use promo code ZABE when you make your first deposit. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. The best part is they make it simple with a variety of ways to deposit, including credit card, bank transfer, Bitcoin, and more. Whether you're at home or on the go, your laptop or on the phone, it's not too late to make your New Year's resolution a resolution to get paid on the games you knew were going to end up the way they did. Bet, win, and get paid at MyBookie.